Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin. My name is Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Zayin, the third parak HaMafkid. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that if one tells two people that he stole from one of them or received a pikadon from one of their fathers and he doesn't know which, he pays both. If two people left money with a shomer and disagree who left one mana and who left two, each receives one mana, and the remainder is put away until Eliyahu comes. Rabbi Yossi says all three mana are held. The Mishnah explains that the case of stealing, where he pays both, does not contradict this final case, where the disputed money is held, because one who stole money may be penalized for his transgression. But in the first case of pikadon, he also pays both, contradicting the final case. Rava answers that the first case where only one gave a pikadon is like someone who was given pikdonos in two bundles, meaning at separate times, and was negligent in not knowing who gave what and must pay. The final case is where they gave their pikdonos together, which is similar to giving them in one bundle. The Shomer says, Ankufaihu kaptisu hadadi, you yourselves were not particular with each other. Anakapidna, should I be particular to know who gave which amount? Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if someone admits to having stolen from one of two people, but does not know which, he must pay both. This contradicts another Mishnah stating that if someone stole from one of five people and doesn't know from whom, Rabbi Tarfon says, Meniach gazel b'nehem mistalik, he places the stolen item between them and withdraws, which the Gemara explains later to mean that he must guard it until its ownership is determined. This proves that money is not taken from the thief out of doubt. The Gemara answers that the latter Mishnah is where the claimants are demanding payment, but the thief only agrees to pay what he must, and so it withholds the money. Our Mishnah's case is Bevolat Seisiyadei Shamayim, where he comes to fulfill his heavenly obligation to avoid punishment, which requires him to pay every possible victim. This is supported by the Mishnah's language, Shehoda Mipiatzmo, because he admitted to the claim himself. And point number three, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon and says, Lozo Derech Mesiyah Sumi Dehavera, this is not the way to remove the thief from transgression. Until he pays for the stolen item to each one of them. Abai says this proves that Rabbi Akiva holds money is taken away even out of doubt. He asks that this contradicts a Mishnah where a house fell on a mother and a son, and it's unknown who died first. The son's heirs claim she died first and the son inherited her, leaving her estate to them, and the mother's heirs say the son died first and her estate is theirs. Rabbi Akiva rules she'nechasim b'cheskasim, that the properties remain in their prior status, which is defined in Bava Basra, showing that he does not take money away out of doubt. Rabbi answered that the second case is shema v'shema, where the son's heir's claim is uncertain and the mother's heir's claim is uncertain. So Rabbi Akiva says the money remains in its status. The case of unknown theft is bari v'shema. Each possible victim claims with certainty that it was stolen from him and the thief is uncertain, so Rabbi Akiva requires him to pay. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states that if one tells two people that he stole from one of them or received a pikadon from one of their fathers, and he doesn't know which, he pays both. If two people left money with a shomer and disagree who left one mana and who left two, each receives one mana, and the remainder is put away until Eliyahu comes. Rabbi Yossi says all three mana are held. The Mishnah explains that the case of stealing, where he pays both, does not contradict this final case, where the disputed money is held, because one who stole money may be penalized for his transgression. But in the first case of pikadon, he also pays both, contradicting the final case. Rava answers that the first case where only one gave a pikadon is like someone who was given pikdonos in two bundles, meaning at separate times, and was negligent in not knowing who gave what and must pay. The final case is where they gave their pikdonos together, which is similar to giving them in one bundle. The Shomer says, Ankufaihu kaptisu hadadi, you yourselves were not particular with each other. Anakapidna, should I be particular to know who gave which amount? Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if someone admits to having stolen from one of two people, but does not know which, he must pay both. This contradicts another Mishnah stating that if someone stole from one of five people and doesn't know from whom, Rabbi Tarfon says, Meniach gazel b'nehem mistalik, he places the stolen item between them and withdraws, which the Gemara explains later to mean that he must guard it until its ownership is determined. This proves that money is not taken from the thief out of doubt. The Gemara answers that the latter Mishnah is where the claimants are demanding payment, but the thief only agrees to pay what he must, and so it withholds the money. Our Mishnah's case is Bevolat Seisiyadei Shamayim, where he comes to fulfill his heavenly obligation to avoid punishment, which requires him to pay every possible victim. This is supported by the Mishnah's language, Shehoda Mipiatzmo, because he admitted to the claim himself. And point number three, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon and says, Lozo derech mesiyah sumi dehavera, this is not the way to remove the thief from transgression. Ad sheyashal megazel chad v'chad, until he pays for the stolen item to each one of them. Abai says this proves that Rabbi Akiva holds money is taken away even out of doubt. He adds that this contradicts a Mishnah where a house fell on a mother and a son, and it's unknown who died first. The son's heirs claim she died first, and the son inherited her, leaving her estate to them, and the mother's heirs say the son died first, and her estate is theirs. Rabbi Akiva rules she'nechasim bechazkasim, that the properties remain in their prior status, which is defined in Bava Basra, showing that he does not take money away out of doubt. Rava answered that the second case is Shema Veshema, where the son's heir's claim is uncertain and the mother's heir's claim is uncertain. So Rabbi Akiva says the money remains in its status. The case of unknown theft is Bari Veshema. Each possible victim claims with certainty that it was stolen from him and the thief is uncertain, so Rabbi Akiva requires him to pay. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin, and our standard simmon is laser tag. Laser tag, so here goes. The attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was, and the ref told him he has to pay every player who claims he took his. Once again, in slow motion. The attendant at the laser tag arena, laser tag, that missed me, Muradov. Lamed Zayin. The attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, which reminds us, in a case where someone was given pink donuts in two bundles, meaning at separate times, and was negligent in not knowing who gave what, he must pay. But in a case where they gave their pink donuts together, which is similar to giving them in one bundle, the Shomer says, you yourselves were not particular with each other, should I be particular to know who gave which amount? So the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if someone admits to having stolen from one of two people, but does not know which, he must pay both. The Mishnah's case is Bavo Etzeis Yedei Shamayim, where he comes to fulfill his heavenly obligation to avoid punishment, which requires him to pay every possible victim. This is supported by the Mishnah's language, Shohoda Mipi Atzmo, because he admitted to the claim. So, the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one, because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was. And the ref told him he has to pay every player who claims he took his, which reminds us, Rabbi Akiva holds gezel from an unknown victim is paid to both if each is bari. So once again, the attendant at the laser tag arena, who couldn't recall which player left two guns with him and which one left one because they gave them together, was startled when someone from the other team sheepishly confessed to the referee that he had stolen a vest from one of the five players without knowing whose it was. And the ref told him he has to pay every player who claims he took his. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Lamed Gimel, so the simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, that must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who passed his pirate papa's lost treasure to first retrieve his pirate Rebbe's lost treasure, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that in a case of retrieving one's father's Aveda, or his Rebbe's Aveda, the Rebbe's Aveda takes precedence because his father brought him to Olam Hazeh, and his Rebbe brings him to Olam Haba. The Gemara brings him Machlokas on what the Mishnah's definition is of one's Rebbe. So the peg-leg pirate who passed his pirate papa's lost treasure to first retrieve his pirate Rebbe's lost treasure almost got knocked down by a bacher running to learn Mishnah's, which reminds the Gemara compares the study of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, and teaches the famous statement, Lom Habiratzel Mishnah Yosemin a Talmud, and want you to always run to learn Mishnah more than Talmud. So the peg-leg pirate who passed his pirate papa's lost treasure to first retrieve his pirate Rebbe's lost treasure almost got knocked down by a bacher running to learn Mishnayos before he could board the ship where a thieving buccaneer was paying kefil to a shomer who volunteered to pay instead of swear when bottles of rum he was watching were stolen, which reminds us, the third parak begins, a mafkid etzel chavero behema o kelim. If one deposits an animal or utensils with his friend, and it was stolen or lost, and the shomer pays for the item and did not want to swear, although he could have sworn he was not negligent and exempt himself from paying, then if the thief is later found, where kefil is paid, or dal behe, if he shechted or sold the animal, the payment is made to the one whom the pikadon was, meaning the shomer. Daf lamed dalet, so the simmer daf lamed dalet is a ladder. So here goes. The fireman climbed down the ladder. Ladder? That must be learned off. Lamed Dalet. The fireman climbed down the ladder from the thief's rooftop apartment, rescuing a stolen cow, which belonged to the shomer retroactively from the time it was given to him to watch, entitling him to receive the kefil, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asked, how does the shomer acquire kefil by volunteering to pay for the lost pikadon, since it's a davar shel bal olam, something which has not come into the world, which one cannot transfer? Rava answered, Nasil Ka Omer, it's as if the owner told the shomer, when giving him the animal, Quote, when the cow is stolen and you will agree to pay me for it, my cow is transferred to you retroactively from now. Since he acquires the actual cow, it's on a dovershul b'lo olam. So the fireman climbed down the ladder from the thief's rooftop apartment, rescuing the stolen cow, which belonged to the shomer retroactively from the time it was given to him to watch, entitling him to receive the kefil, even though the shomer had merely agreed to pay and hadn't yet paid, which reminds us of Rabbi Yochanan said, lo shilim shilim mamish, the Mishnah statement that the shomer paid does not mean that he literally paid. Rather, once he said, I will pay, even though he didn't yet pay, he acquires the kefil. So the fireman climbed down the ladder from the thief's rooftop apartment, rescuing a stolen cow, which belonged to the shomer retroactively from the time it was given him to watch, entitling him to receive the kefil, even though the shomer had merely agreed to pay and hadn't yet paid, while children, the future heirs of the shomer and the owner, looked on. Which reminds us, the Gemara presents a series of various scenarios of payments and asks if the shomer acquires the kefil, if the shomer dies and his heirs pay, or if the owner dies and the shomer pays his heirs, or both die and the shomer's heirs pay the owner's heirs, is kefil acquired? These questions center on whether only the owner agrees to transfer kefil and only to the shomer, who has personally pleased the owner in the past. Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simur Daf Lamed Hey is the children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's wealthy choir had children's choir. That must be more Daf Lamed Hey. La la la. The children's wealthy choir head, who was trusted by his lova, who didn't make him swear that the microphones he gave as a mashkon were truly lost, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why a shavua she'ena b'rishusa would not force a gilgo shavua on a mashkon's value. Rav Gaon explained the cases where the lova trusts the malva that the mashkon is lost, so he doesn't swear. He doesn't trust the malva about the mashkon's value because the malva is unfamiliar with it. The Gemara explains that the lova applies to the malva tamus nusharim nitanchem. The perfection of the upright will lead them to good fortune, meaning the lender's honesty brought about his wealth. But the malva applies to the lova vasel bogdim yishadim, and the perverseness of traders will plunder them, meaning the borrower's dishonesty causes poverty. So the children's wealthy choir head, who was trusted by his lova, who didn't make him swear that the microphones he gave as a mashkon were truly lost, had to return the seized auditorium to a borrower who finally paid up. Which reminds us, the scholars of Narada say, Shuma Adar Tresa Yarchi Shasa, property which was appraised and ceased to pay a debt is returned to the debtor if he pays it until 12 months after the collection. A Maimar, who was also from Narada, said that seized property is returned forever. This is the halachim because of the pasuk vasisa yarshava atov, and you shall do what is right and good. So the children's wealthy choir head, who was trusted by his lova, who didn't make him swear that the microphones he gave as a mashkon were truly lost, had to return the seized auditorium to a borrower who finally paid up with money he made by lending out a cow he had rented, which died. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone rented a cow and lent it to someone else and it died naturally, the socher swears that it died naturally, for which he's exempt, and the shoel pays the cow's value to the socher. Riosi asked, Ketzad halaosas chor b'parasu shechavero, how can that renter do business with his friend's cow? Rather, the payment is given to the cow's owner. Daf Lamed Vav, so the Simur Daf Lamed Vav is lulav. So here goes. The lulav dealer, lulav, that must be Daf Lamed Vav. The lulav dealer, who was distraught when he discovered his prize case of lulavim that he gave a shomer sachar were handed over to a shomer chinam and were stolen, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes the Machlokas, shomer shemasel a shomer, regarding a shomer who gave over his pikadon to another shomer. Rav says he's patur from the pikadon's loss. Abai adds that this is not only so where a shomer chinam gave the pikadon to the shomer sachar, where he raised the level of shmir because the second shomer, being more liable, guards it more diligently, but even in the reverse case where a shomer sachar gave it to a shomer chinam, thereby decreasing his shmir, he's still exempt the hamasel ben das because he gave it over to a mentally competent person capable of guarding it and was not negligent. So the lulav dealer, who was distraught when he discovered his prize case of lulavim that he gave a shomer sachar were handed over to a shomer chinam and were stolen, and lambasted the shomer, telling him that even in the case of upgrading the shmirah, he would not have believed the second shomer's shavua, which reminds us Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shomer who gives the pikadon to another is always chayiv. Abai explained that this is not only so where a shomer sachar gave it to a shomer chinam, thereby decreasing its shmirah, but even in the reverse case, whereby he upgraded its shmirah, he is liable because the owner can say, I don't want my pikadon in another person's hands. So, the lulav dealer, who was distraught when he discovered the prize case of lulavim that he gave a shomer sachar were handed over to a shomer chinam and were stolen, and lambasted the shomer, telling him that even in the case of upgrading the shmirah, he would not have believed the second shomer's shavua, was interrupted by his assistant, who shared the bad news that another shomer was negligent watching their donkey used to transport the lulavim, which escaped to a marsh and died. of natural causes, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some machlokas. If a shomer was negligent in watching an animal and it escaped to a marsh in which it was unprotected from predators and thieves, umesa kadarka, and it died naturally, whether the shomer is chayiv or not. Alright, so now it's time to conclude the Pau quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that Rav holds that a shomer shamasa a shomer is pater even if there was a downgrading of shmira? That's on Duff. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that a person should always run to learn Mishnah? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn Rabbi Kiva holds that gezel from an unknown victim is paid to both if each victim is bari? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you have a question if the kapel is transferred if the shomer's heir paid the owner's heirs? That's on Duff. Lamed Dalet. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn why a loba trusts a malva not to make him swear that a mushkin was lost? That's on Duff. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn when gezel from an unknown victim is paid to both? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you discuss if Tsar Bali Chaim is Daraisa? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn when a pikadon of unclear ownership must be paid to both? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn that the Rabbanan hold that Prika is done for free, but Te'ina is done for a wage? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you discuss what the din is if the shomer was negligent in watching an animal and escaped to a marsh in which it was unprotected and then it died naturally? That's on Duff. Lamed Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.